Podcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. They also provide plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. Carlos and George are great sponsors of our program. We appreciate them very much. And we also appreciate our guest today, who's a frequent contributor to our program, Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Tim. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Before we started today, you reported well about the Bryant family. Good to hear that. You've got a fairly recently new home, so you have the room to kind of spread out and have classroom and husband in his office and you in yours. So, hey, you've got it's all coming together. Jennifer, did I lose you?
Oh, there we are.
Oh, there we go.
And then now you're back.
That's the wonders of technology. So many times I like to tell people that, you know, the Verizon commercials where they say, can you hear me now?
Yes.
They don't film those in New Mexico because we do not have that. It's kind of good cell service around here. But we're actually, you're joining the program today via Skype and sounds really good, Jennifer. You sound good.
Good. Thanks.
Hey, I want to start off today. I know your Nourish Nutrition newsletter comes out, and I was able to read a lot of it. I actually read your newsletter, Jennifer.
I love it. I actually think a lot of people do. I get a lot of feedback, and I love that. That's my favorite part of my job, when people send me a message and tell me something they learned or tell me something they're working on. I think that's great.
Okay, well, you mentioned something in the latest couple of newsletters called emotional eating. And is emotional eating like when my Los Angeles Raiders are driving down the field for a touchdown, and after they score, I look down and I see I've eaten the entire bowl of guacamole dip while they were driving? Is that emotional eating?
Sort of. So I'm spending the entire last part of the year on this topic because I think it's such a deep and complex topic that I really wanted to give it an appropriate time. So we're actually just on week two, and it's going to be a 9-week series. So this is great. If people haven't signed up for this yet, it's going to be a really good series. So emotional eating, it really can mean a lot of different things. So we're really eating emotionally when we're eating for any reason other than physical hunger. And so I think about that with my own life, right? And it's like, I eat when I'm stressed, when I'm bored, when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm lonely, like really every kind of emotion that you could think of is sort of an excuse to eat. Right. And so emotional eating can really take on many, many forms. So I thought, you know, what a good time of year, especially since the holidays maybe don't look quite the same for most of us. You know, how can we manage this emotional eating a little bit differently this year?
Well, I know that there's a lot of things that go along with this emotional stuff. And we're going to talk about, you've already mentioned, what emotional eating is, but I'm going to ask you about another concept, and that's, you've used it before on our show, called eating intentionally. I know so many times myself personally, I'll get home from work, I'll, some sparkling water. I enjoy that, and I'll sit down on the couch, and I just happen to have, have the Halloween candy within arm's reach, and I'm eating, you know, two or three of these little candy bars, and I'm not even thinking about it. And I've just ingested 1,200 or 1,600 calories, and I didn't even realize I was doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly, I think the intentional eating is really part of the solution to the problem of emotional eating. And, you know, we've talked about that on the show before, but there are so many times where we catch ourselves really not even thinking at all about what we're doing. I remember this time, it was actually while I was writing my book, maybe last year, and I was sitting at my desk and I had gotten a snack you know, just a few minutes before that. And it was a healthy snack. I think it was like almonds and a piece of fruit or something. And I was sitting down at my desk and I was really immersed in what I was writing. And so I wasn't thinking at all about what I was eating. And I remember looking over and my plate was empty. And I had no recollection whatsoever of eating that snack, like to the point where I actually thought maybe one of my children came in and ate it or something. So I just wasn't paying attention. So intentional eating is really the opposite of what we call mindless eating. So we're kind of eating without thinking about it. Sometimes professionals call it hand to mouth, where you're just continuing to take bites and things and you're just really not even thinking at all about what you're doing. And the problem with that is that we really find that we get much less satisfaction from the food that we're eating when we're eating it mindlessly.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Like you said, time goes by and you've eaten 1200 calories of the candy bar and you didn't even enjoy it because you weren't thinking about it.
Yeah, that's really true. And I always feel like people, like my sister likes to bake cakes. I like a yellow cake with chocolate frosting. And I always think her cakes are defective because somehow after I eat a piece, I don't even remember eating it. And then I want another one and then another one. It's just ridiculous. I must be a cake addict. Hey, I want to shift gears back to the emotional part. And I have two perspectives I want to ask you about. One of the reasons I like to talk to you, Jennifer, is because you're always the bright spot. And we discuss a lot of tough subjects on the show, but this is a fun subject. And you always make food interesting and fun. And we're going to get to some less stressful questions. But here's two questions for you. And I don't know how you want to answer these. But I want to ask you about how do feelings of depression and sorrow affect the way that we eat, because a lot of people experience those emotions during this time of year. And then second of all, does elation or happiness affect our eating habits in any better way?
Yeah, those are both really good questions. So let's start with the first one. So I think depression and anxiety, I think what's happening, and there's so many different aspects to this, you know, feeling sort of down or feeling anxious or feeling stressed. And, you know, this year we've got the added burden of, you know, COVID happening. And so I think that tends to sort of intensify some of these emotions that we're experiencing right now. You know, and I think as Christians, we have a unique perspective on this, right? Because we really do have this, you know, eternal hope that we can lean on. Now, that doesn't necessarily make the depression and anxiety go away all the time, of course. But I think sometimes what happens with emotional eating is we turn to food to sort of soothe some of these uncomfortable emotions that we're experiencing, you know, and whether that's depression, anxiety, loneliness, you know, boredom, whatever. We turn to food to sort of be the solution to this perceived problem that we have. And, you know, generally speaking, we do see a little bit of a benefit emotionally from the food that we're eating, but it's very, very temporary, right? And so what ends up happening is we tend to turn to food more than often. We also, this is kind of a cliche phrase, but I think it's applicable here. You know, we're trying to fill this sort of God-shaped hole, right? We're trying to fill this longing for something more. And, you know, really the truth is that food just is not a good long-term solution for that. And so what happens is we end up, you know, doing too much emotional eating. We stop paying attention to our hunger cues. And then that's when we start to see some of our health affected from some of these decisions. And anybody can tell you that struggles with depression or anxiety that if they turn to food, it does help temporarily. But then a lot of times afterwards, there's this intensified feeling that is made worse by the guilt or the shame of overeating. And so it's kind of this compounding problem that just keeps going and going and going. So
well, I frame the question with the two kind of opposing perspectives because I've always been taught that stress can both be negative stress and positive stress, and both create some problems. So if we're elated or really happy and we're having a party, we're having Thanksgiving, that sometimes doesn't really help our eating habits either, does it?
Right. Yeah, so, you know, I joke that we eat for every emotion under the sun, and it's true, we do. We eat to celebrate as well. And here's the difference, though. If you look at, from a biblical perspective, if you look at times of celebration in the Bible, there was almost always a feast involved. Mm. So a time of celebration is actually not a bad time to be celebrating with food. I think that the Bible actually teaches us that that's a good thing. The problem is when we let the feast or the celebration happen too often, or when we let it go on too long. So, for example, you know, with Thanksgiving coming up next week, you know, we've got one day, one feast celebration day, but I can almost guarantee you that most of our listeners probably continue eating a little bit more for the next few days. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's definitely some things that we want to think about when we're celebrating. We don't want to let it go on too long. We don't want to, and so we really just want to be a little bit careful in how we celebrate. But I think the actual act of celebrating with a feast is really not a bad thing.
Okay. We're on the phone this afternoon. Actually, we're on Skype this afternoon with Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling. She's a frequent contributor to our program. If you want more information, Jennifer has free recipes. They're just amazing. She even provides an easy way for you to print them on an 8.5 by 11 sheet. You can poke your own holes, create your little recipe notebook. She's got some good stuff. We're going to talk more about that. Talk about her newsletter, how to sign up for it, all kinds of really neat resources, and how she actually works in her counseling business with people. So stay with us. We'll be back after these messages. Bye.
At Krecha Law, we believe in making things right when things go wrong. If you are injured, you shouldn't have to go it alone. You deserve someone who will listen to you and fight for you. We believe that you deserve to protect your future, protect your family, and protect your loved ones. We believe in challenging insurance companies and standing up to bullies. We believe that David can beat Goliath. 843-7777.
The Krecha Law Firm. Righting wrongs, protecting your future. TheKrechaLawFirm.com.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
At Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, we house children who have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. These children are here due to no fault of their own, and they need God's love. We accept no state or federal funding, so we need our donors more than ever. Saturday, November 21st is the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home virtual event. Stay tuned for more information from ACCH. Continue your support by logging into acch4kids.org and click on the Donate Now button or call us at 898-5520.
God is love. God's love is intrinsic. It is as essential to God as light is to the sun, as blue is to the sky, as wet is to water. You don't make water wet, it is wet. In all of these cases, the attribute is intrinsic to the object. Take great joy in your God. He loves you. Hey, this is Pastor Scott Thom of Cross Christian Fellowship. Connect with us at crossfellowship.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
This month we have had the privilege of featuring Bev Rich and the Called Christians Initiative in Jinja, Uganda for our great mission here on KNKT. Today we want to bring special attention to a few specific areas of need for Bev and her team out in Jinja. In recent months, her team has experienced several mechanical issues, including a rollover in one of their vehicles. These vehicles play a crucial role in transporting vital medicine, blankets, food, and other necessities to prisons and hospitals throughout the region. Today, we're trying to raise $10,000, and tomorrow as well, in an effort to upgrade the fleet of vehicles for Bev and her staff. Please consider giving a financial gift today by visiting knkt.com/star88fm. And we are going to try to get Bev some of the resources she needs so desperately. And they've been affected by COVID very much the same way. I wanted to reintroduce Jennifer Bryant. She's with Nourish Nutrition Counseling. People that have listened to this show regularly hear Jennifer about every 3 or 4 weeks. Jennifer, thanks for doing this. You're always so gracious. And I know this COVID thing, you've got your children and your husband at home, and you have to take some time to spend with us. And I know our listeners are very blessed to have you.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I actually really enjoy, these conversations. I feel like there's great benefit in, you know, these short teaching moments, and hopefully listeners are coming away with something really practical and, you know, motivating that they can change something about how they're doing and live a healthier life.
Yeah. Tell us how you counsel people. For example, we're talking about today is emotional eating. If you find out in the process of working with someone that they are an emotional eater, what does that counseling look like?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So there's quite a few steps really to what we're doing. And this is actually, I'm kind of giving a little glimpse into all of this with the newsletter over the next couple of months. But really the first thing is to recognize that you're doing it. And so that's one of the most important things to think about and to recognize. And once you start recognizing when you're doing it, you can start thinking about why you're doing it, and you can start brainstorming other solutions that will actually be a little more effective in terms of recovering and maybe getting over some of those bad habits. So, definitely noticing. And then I talk a lot about the hunger scale. So using the hunger scale to kind of figure out, you know, am I actually physically hungry? What's happening in my body right now? You know, and eating in response to an emotion isn't always a bad thing. It just depends on, you know, what are we choosing to eat? How much of it are we choosing to eat? And so there's definitely a lot of questions to think about. I in my last newsletter on Tuesday, I talked about two questions to ask yourself to find out if you are emotionally eating. The first one is, does my body feel physically hungry? So, and that's kind of a skill in and of itself, is to learn how to really understand your body's physical hunger. And, you know, there's a couple of tricks to that, but one of the easiest things you can think about is, you know, physical hunger really develops gradually over time. Whereas if you're not actually feeling physically hungry, you may all of a sudden feel hungry, maybe because you smell the popcorn, or you saw the commercial for the potato chips or whatever. You suddenly feel hungry. That's usually not true physical hunger. So that's kind of a good way to gauge if it's physical, or I call it head hunger. Mm-hmm. And then number two, does this food actually provide any nutritional value for my body? And so if the answer is yes to, am I feeling physically hungry? Then the solution is always to eat. You should always eat something when you're feeling physically hungry. That's your body's way of telling you that you need to eat food. But if you're not feeling physically hungry and you're eating it for other reasons, it still may not necessarily be a bad thing if the food provides some nutritional value for you. So, you know, it's complicated, but there are definitely some questions to ask yourself where you can really start sort of paying more attention. And really, that's all you're doing. You're starting to pay attention to your habits and what you're doing, and you're starting to change the way you do things a little bit.
Knowing you the way I know you from our interactions here on this program, Jennifer, I know you're a planner, and you plan meals and you plan the whole thing for the week. You've got a whole menu set aside for your family. Do you teach people how to do that kind of thing and really get organized about what they're preparing to eat?
Yes, I do. I do. So, of course, it depends on the person, but generally speaking, I will have all my clients start a little book for themselves, at the beginning of appointments. And what they'll keep in their little book is they'll keep some, you know, lists of maybe healthy snack ideas, ideas of things that they like for breakfast or for lunches. And then they'll also keep some recipes in there that include a good variety of things that they have tried, that they know they like, and that are meeting their health goals. And so you start to kind of get organized with this. And then, you know, I always tell people my meal planning takes me maybe 20 minutes a week, and that's including making my grocery list. So it's really not a long process. It doesn't have to be complicated. I think just the getting started piece is really what people struggle with a little bit. And so we work a lot on just kind of gathering things all in one place and making it easy to go to so that it doesn't have to be a big deal.
I would imagine that planning also saves you some money. I know that's true with every other industry. When you plan to build a house and you put together your schedule of materials, or you're doing even a little project around the house and you got to go to Lowe's, if you're planning, you end up buying exactly what you want. I can't tell you in my household, and it's a lot less now because it's just me that I have to worry about primarily. But when I had five children, I would buy so much stuff. And when I think back about to all the stuff we used to throw away, it was a waste of money because I didn't plan well.
Yes, it is. And planning is definitely important. In fact, you know, I've had a couple of clients. I don't think I actually have anybody right now that have literally come to me just for help in meal planning. And then once they kind of learn some of the tools, they feel so much more confident in it. And absolutely, it saves you money. It saves you money and time. I mean, I think about some of these people who go to the grocery store every single day for, you know, whatever they're going to eat that night. Or they don't have anything, and so you end up going to get, you know, takeout food. And so there's so much extra money that builds up in some of those scenarios where you're really not taking the time to plan. So yeah, 20 minutes a week is what I do, and it's totally worth it. And I always feel like, I don't know if we have any listeners that feel kind of stress about dinner and meal planning, but I have definitely known people that just, it's so overwhelming to them that they don't even want to think about it. They never have a plan. It's sort of like they look in the fridge and what do I have? And that actually is more stressful in many cases because I don't even think about what I'm making for dinner, right? So I look at my plan. I look at what I'm having for dinner that night. And I'm, you know, it's ready to go. I don't have to stress about it. I don't have to worry about if I don't have something. It's all ready to go.
Well, I think there's a lot of husbands out there. Hope this isn't too chauvinistic, but a lot of them have a plan to let their wife decide what they're going to eat.
Right. Right. No, and that's a really good point, Jim. I think it's so important that the whole family is involved. And I even involve my kids every week. You know, I'll ask them, hey, what do you guys want for lunch? You know, it's always the same answer. It's always mac and cheese. But mm-hmm. Yeah. But at least it's a start. And so then, you know, I'll suggest a couple other things. I'll say, okay, well, would you rather have this or this? And I'll give them two options, both of the options, which I would be very happy with. And they get to choose that way. And that way they're involved in some of the meal planning and they're more likely to eat those good, healthy foods for them also.
That's a lot of fun. We've mentioned your newsletter a couple of times today. Tell us about your newsletter and how you share biblical encouragement along with some sound advice about food.
Yeah. So I think this is one area that I haven't seen a whole lot of other dietitians doing this, connecting food to faith. And I think it's one of the, I don't think we do it enough. I think that, you know, when you look at the Bible, there isn't anything specifically about nutrition. Well, there's a few little, you know, little verses here and there, but there's not a lot. And so I tend to think that we don't think that the Bible really has anything to do with how we feed our bodies, but it's really the opposite. I think that there's so many aspects of our lives where, you know, the Lord calls us to be self-controlled and calls us to be patient with ourselves. And, you know, there's, and to work all things for the glory of God and to do everything for the glory of God. And I think that includes eating. And so that was really the goal of the newsletter, was to bring those two concepts together. So looking at, okay, how does the Bible teach us about nutrition, even if it may not be directly talking about nutrition, but how does it teach us to take care of our bodies? And then practically, what does that mean? How do we eat? How do we overcome emotional eating? What are some good recipes? You know, all of those things I think play into just the concept of eating well, and I call it food and faith. Yeah. So putting our food and our faith together in the same area.
Good stuff. Jennifer, I want our listeners to know, and I think I've reminded this a few times, I don't recommend that our listeners sign up for newsletters unless I've signed up for it myself. And the reason is I don't like getting inundated with all these marketing emails. And I'm just here to testify. When you sign up, and Jennifer's going to tell us how to do that in a minute, when you sign up for Nourish Nutrition Counseling newsletters, you're not going to be inundated with a bunch of stuff you don't want. In fact, you're going to be motivated to go to her website for free. She lets you download these really good recipes, which after having known Jennifer for a year and a half or so, I know she cooks all of this food. And she tells me that her kids eat it, which might be really encouraging to people that have small children. I remember when my children were young, that was really a lot of effort. That was a lot of stress because, you know, I came from this old school where if you didn't eat what was on your plate, you didn't get dessert. You got to go back to your room. I mean, it was just all kinds of things that I don't know that those kind of things work today, but you know, we certainly did not let the kids go grab, you know, Pop-Tarts and stuff when they didn't want to eat the healthy thing on their plate first. So, you know, there's just things that this all kind of overlaps. Tell us about how people sign up for your newsletter and how they use your website.
Yeah, that's great. So, so my website is nourishednutritioncounseling.com. And there's a couple of really good things on there. And like Jim said, I want this to be a resource for people. So, I mean, of course, you know, I will get some clients and things from people who go to my website. But I really, my vision is for this to be, you know, if you don't feel like you need the one-on-one counseling, this is something that you can do to stay motivated and to have ideas and to, you know, kind of search through some of these topics that are related to our faith as well. So, nourishednutritioncounseling.com. And then there is a tab, a newsletter tab, where you just click on it and you enter your email and you are signed up and you will get an email Tuesday. I usually send them out about 10 o'clock in the morning. It depends on the day. But you'll get an email on Tuesdays and it usually has, you know, a good little chunk of kind of some education, you know, so the next 2 months we're focusing on emotional eating. So we're looking at kind of a step-by-step process and how to recognize it, how to overcome some of it, how to think a little bit differently about it. And then there's always a verse, an encouraging verse. So this week was Psalm 90, verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. So we're looking at getting our satisfaction from the Lord in this rather than from food, you know, when we're eating, when we're not hungry.
I love it. Hey, I think you need to title one of your newsletters and address it directly for men. And it's got to say something like, how to not be overcome by emotional eating when your NFL team is just getting buried.
during the football game, right?
Well, I got to see, I mentioned the Raiders and I'm going to take a lot of flack. I have you know, most of the people around here are either Cowboys or Broncos fans. I have some really close friends that love the Kansas City Chiefs, which of course the arch nemesis of my team, the now Las Vegas Raiders. But I say this all in good fun because when I gave you that little scenario to start the show, I wasn't kidding. I have literally been so stressed out about them driving down the field and I have this little bowl of guacamole, not the whole thing we made, but this little bowl that I gave myself and I'm holding in my hand. And the drive's over in, I want to say 7-8 minutes, and I look down and all my guacamole's gone. And I'm like, just what you said. I didn't even realize I ate it. And I know that's not good.
I know. Well, and this is a perfect example of, I mean, think about typical game day snacks. Right? I mean, they're really not very good for us. And so, you know, we sort of say it's a celebration to watch a football game. It's like a special occasion, but then it's something that happens. Now it's like, what, 3 or 4 days a week that we can watch football. And so it's no longer a special occasion at that point. So, you know, we have to just think a little bit differently about it and think a little smarter. Not that you can't have your, you know, whatever, your chips and dip. But maybe think about, okay, I'm only going to eat those, you know, during a commercial or a time when you're not so wrapped up in the actual game. And then also, I'm not just going to eat chips. I'm going to eat something else with it that also nourishes my body a little bit better. So, you know, there's a balance, you know, I think there's a misconception that dietitians always eat perfectly, and that's definitely not true. So we've got to have balance.
So it'd probably be better for you, and I'm just thinking out loud here, but I'm thinking to myself, okay, if I've got Doritos and some really cheesy green chili queso, I can eat that, or maybe I should have cut up some cucumbers and put a little ranch dressing, and maybe that would be a little more healthy snack to eat.
Well, and, you know, I always think about it like this, okay? I love queso. Like, it is probably one of my favorite foods. Well, really, cheese in general is one of my favorite foods, and so queso is just sort of like, you know, a type of cheese.
It's just the nectar of God. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But I always think about it like this. Okay, I know I really want the queso, and I don't know about you, Jim, but I am not going to be happy if I have the cucumbers and ranch instead of the queso. It's just not going to cut it for me, right? So what I will do is I'll say, all right, well, I know I would really love a little queso today, so I'm going to have that. But before I have that, I'm going to have some raw veggies, and I'm going to do something good for my body. That way, too, you're not tempted to really overdo the queso because your stomach is already a little bit full. And so paying attention to some of those hunger cues becomes really important, too. And then also, when I eat that queso, I want to really enjoy it. So I want to, you know, try to minimize distractions, right, and really try to think about what I'm eating.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer, we've got a lot more to cover, another 30 minutes with you, or 28 minutes now that I've gone a little over my time. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about your favorite recipe this month. So stay with us. We'll be back with Jennifer Bryant on ABQ Connect.
Moving with integrity. Slater Transfer and Storage is family-owned with over 30 years in the moving industry. They offer many services to cover all your moving needs. Local and long-distance movers committed to excellence on every move. They also have on-site storage. Begin your next move with a free, no-obligation quote. Call 505-345-8841. That's 505-345-8841. Located at 6900 Washington Street Northeast or online at slateratlas.com.
Every day, children and teens will find themselves in the foster care system.
Because their parents can't take care of them.
Because of abuse or neglect.
They'll find themselves
scared,
angry, alone.
As a Christian foster parent, you can open your heart and open your home to a child or teen in need.
You can change your life.
To learn more about Christian foster care, call the Bear Foundation, 505-888-1362, christianfostercare.org.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at Gonstead-NM.com or
505-884-8584. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Mortgage rates are still very low in this great country of ours, despite elections and all the other goofy things going on, including COVID. So and next time you're shopping for a mortgage, be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote. When you are shopping, they will give you a loan estimate with all the details about what it's going to cost and the rate and payments, etc. They'll do a great job for you. Give them a call at 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling. I want to ask you, what's your favorite recipe of the month this month?
I always think I have a favorite one every week. Like, it's always different every week. And I'm one of those people that I really don't love eating the same thing over and over. So we have different things, you know, I don't think I repeat a recipe probably more than once a month, but right now I am really loving, and it's one of the recent ones that I posted, I think last month. It's called Indian butter chicken. And it's so good. I have a few clients that when they first started meeting with me, they were like, I do not like chicken. I don't want to eat it. Don't tell me to eat it. I don't like it. And I thought, oh, they must not have made chicken the way I like chicken. So this is really a good way to make chicken. It's so, so delicious. And technically, I think it follows the paleo diet guidelines. It has lots of good spices. It has garlic and ginger and cumin and cardamom and a little bit of spice with the cayenne pepper. And then it has coconut milk and tomato paste for the sauce. And you serve it over rice, and it is just delicious.
And so, again, you can go to nourishnutritioncounseling.com. And where do you click to get to the recipes?
Yeah, so you go to the tab with helpful tools, and you'll find recipes in that section. You'll find articles, and there's actually a search feature there also. So if you wanted to search for all the chicken recipes, you can, you know, type in chicken and hit search, and it'll show you all the chicken recipes. If you wanted to look at the articles related to faith, you could type in faith, and it will come up with all of the articles. And so that's a really good feature to find things.
That really is. That's neat. I haven't tried the search thing. I just kind of go through and select several of them. And I go to the website maybe twice a month. I bet I've downloaded. And they download on these really nice. You format everything to fit on an 8.5 by 11 page, and I poke some holes in it and stick it in a notebook. And I've tried the recipes and sent them to my children multiple times. And I have children now about to live in North Carolina. I have them in San Diego. I have 5 kids, so they're just kind of all over the place. But they all like me to send them those things. And I don't even take the credit. I give it all to you, Jennifer.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of these recipes, and it actually is a lot of work to come up with a recipe, by the way. So when you see a recipe on my website, it's not an easy process. It usually takes me about a month. So I'll have something kind of in mind that I want to do, or I'll have a sort of a starter recipe sometimes where I will have seen something in a magazine or online where I want to try to mimic what they're doing, but change it. So I do that a lot. I do recipe modification quite a bit. And then you have to make it, of course. And then you have to make sure your whole family likes it. And so sometimes that doesn't always happen. And so then that recipe goes out the window right there, you know, if not everybody likes it. And then, you know, you have to get a good photo of it too. So it takes a while, and then you've got to type everything in. But I really do enjoy having that resource. And it's funny because I actually use my website myself for my own recipes too. So it's useful.
Yeah, and it's even part of the planning process. If you want to go to Jennifer's website and check it out. And I've really grown into this. I mean, Jennifer and I started doing shows together, a year and a half ago or so, and so much more has been added to the website. So my compliments. You're doing a great job. Jennifer, I want to ask you about eating intentionally during the holidays. To me, that means I'm going to eat as much homemade fudge as possible intentionally.
Well, okay, so those two phrases that you said actually don't go very well together, Jim, because what you will find is when you start eating more intentionally, you will find that you do not need to eat as much as possible to feel satisfied with it. And that's really the benefit of eating intentionally is, you eat it slowly. You sit down at a table, and I know it sounds so silly, but even little things like, putting a placemat up, having a nice glass of water, or, you know, a small glass of wine is okay. And really sitting there and enjoying your meal. And you know that it takes, everybody knows this. Well, most people know this. It takes 20 minutes for the signal to go from your stomach to your brain to tell your brain that you have eaten something. And so if your meal does not last 20 minutes, then you will not get that sort of I am done sensation that you're supposed to because you ate it too quickly. And so intentional eating is much more than just eating slowly, but it's also paying attention to what you're eating, thinking about what you're eating, making it a pleasant experience. And often that can include, you know, having meals with people as well and making it a social occasion as well.
Well, and we all know that Christians love to break bread together, and you start having, you know, these feasts and things that you mentioned in the Bible are really that. It's a celebration of what God has provided to us. And it's also developing intimacy interpersonally in our relationships. And so many of us, this is me, I raise my hand, I'm always eating in the car, or I'm wolfing down, you know, something I shouldn't be eating. I have to tell you, I'm always fascinated with the effectiveness and the truth of McDonald's advertising. I'm going to paraphrase their latest one. It says, this guy in a very calm, soothing voice says, the next time you go to McDonald's, be sure and order your own fries, or your fries will become the other person's fries.
Right.
And I just thought, that is so true.
It is. Yes, it is. It is. You know, Jim, it's so funny too. I just want to mention, and we don't have to spend a lot of time here, but I do want to mention that although it's very common in the Bible to see feasting with celebration, it is also very common in the Bible to see fasting. Hmm. And I think that that's kind of a lost art. I think there's definitely a lot of wonderful benefits to, you know, practicing some sort of fast. It doesn't have to be, you know, completely abstaining from food. It doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't even have to be food, actually. There's a lot of people that find really good success with doing, you know, technology fasts, or even drinks other than water fasts, you know, things like that. So it can look different for different people, but there's definitely a benefit into practicing, you know, that sort of aspect of self-control from time to time.
I know people that have just tucked their cell phones into their arm like it was a football because they're afraid you're going to tell them they have to take a fast from that stinking cell phone of theirs.
I know. Yes. I mean, there's so many things that you could think about, you know, for doing a short-term fast. And, you know, the purpose of it, of food fasting is really to realize our physical needs, right? And so it sort of separates us from God in that capacity where, you know, we have to eat three times a day, you know, and when you skip a meal, you feel hungry and you feel uncomfortable and, you know, all these things come. And so you really develop a deeper sense of spiritual thinking when you're depriving your physical body. And so that's really the goal of it. You know, some people fast for clarity with big decisions or, you know, other reasons too. But I think there's definitely a sweetness to being weak physically and then letting the Lord work through us in that capacity.
Good word. Good word. We're going to be back with Jennifer for our last segment to talk a little bit about type 2 diabetes, how diet can help people maybe even get off of medications if you manage your diet correctly. We'll be back more with Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, right after these messages.
Called Christians, a ministry in Jinja, Uganda, can certainly be recognized as a great mission. Here's ministry leader Bev Rich.
The focus of Called Christians is to bring people to Christ and then to move them deeper in with the Lord. Our focus is discipleship. Uganda has been evangelized, but they say, you know, the Christianity here is about one inch deep. But we want to help people grow closer and closer to Christ and to actually just have a relationship and learn who God is and know Him.
Bev and her team at Called Christians are accomplishing this by ministering to several prisons where they teach the Bible, assist with medical transports, and help supply the pharmacy. Other outreach includes a school of ministry to raise up leaders, education sponsorships, and public classes on apologetics. For this work to continue, your support is urgently needed. Find a place to give a one-time or reoccurring gift by clicking the Great Mission banner at star88.fm or knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Want to remind everybody that Operation Christmas Child, putting together these shoe boxes with toys and toiletries and other fun things for Christmas. These boxes will be going to Children's Samaritan's Purse, distributes those through their Operation Christmas Child. Those collections are being done all the way through Sunday. That's the 22nd here on the campus of Calvary Church. Now, even though Calvary Church, either on the west side, Santa Fe, or the main campus on Osuna, we are not meeting in person for services because of the new health department restrictions here in New Mexico, but it is open. There are people here that will take your donations for Operation Christmas Child. It's amazing. I just walked down the foyer here right before the show started, and there's literally hundreds of boxes full with, you know, various sizes of shoe boxes. But I can say there's got to be, you know, 10 shoe boxes in every one of these big Operation Christmas Child boxes. So a lot of people are coming out. We hope that you will concentrate on that. And then I also want to remind everybody that with the recent surge in COVID here in New Mexico, Calvary Church is once again going to be putting on emphasis on the kindness campaign. Please drop off everything from toilet paper to canned goods to, I think, any and all non-perishable food items, because people can really use those. They can even, you know, anything that has not been opened. I know that we don't really have a way to store perishable food, but the kindness campaign is in full operation. Again, you can drive up in front of the church with your Operation Christmas Child boxes or anything for the kindness campaign. We have people out in front that will help you unload those in a COVID-safe way. You don't even need to get out of your car. And this is really a time with a lot of people in need. Jennifer Bryant, Nurse Nutrition Counseling. I know we're talking about food, and we're so blessed to most of us have food to eat. I know there are people around the world. For example, I recorded a show that will play next week with Dr. K.P. Yohannan, Gospel for Asia. And he says in India and other Southeastern Asian countries that COVID is not even the problem. 95% of the problem in those countries is starvation. And so I want to encourage everybody to give to these ministries that are providing food for people. Even here in New Mexico, Feed New Mexico Kids, amazing ministry providing food for kids. And I want to shout out to the Albuquerque Public Schools and the city of Albuquerque. They're doing a great job of providing meals for people twice a day during the week. So, yeah, food is so important. And Jennifer, let's shift gears now and talk a little bit about people with type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes seems to be more influenced by body fat composition, and eating right sometimes puts it into remission.
Sometimes, yeah. So there's actually quite a few risk factors. So we call them risk factors because any one of these things can increase your risk. That doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get it, but it's important to kind of know the risk factors and know your risk so that you can be on the lookout for it. And like you were saying, if you catch it early enough, it can be reversed, or it can be prevented if you catch it early enough, if you catch it in the pre-diabetes stage. So this is really a good conversation, actually very timely, because November is actually Diabetes Awareness Month. So I don't know if you knew that, Jim.
But, I did not know this that.
This is really the month where we try to increase awareness for diabetes. And so, yes, weight is a risk factor for type 2 diabetes. What's happening is the fat sort of surrounds the cells, and it sort of acts as a barrier so that the sugar cannot get into the cell like it needs to. And so excess fat can definitely be a problem, especially if you store it around your midsection. That is definitely a risk factor as well. So this is why if you, you know, go to your primary.
I'm sucking my stomach in right now, Jennifer.
A good doctor is probably going to measure your waist, and that's really just to give you an idea of risk, okay? Inactivity is another risk factor. So if you're just sitting a lot, that can definitely increase your risk. The other one I really see as you know, probably more of a risk than anything is actually family history. So if you have, especially a parent or a sibling that has had type 2 diabetes, then you have a greater risk of that. And so, you know, that's unfortunately one of those risk factors that you cannot change. I'll just tell you a short example of a lady that I've been working with. She's really doing well. She is doing a lot of the right things. She's changed all of her eating habits. She's eating a lot more fruits and vegetables. She's eating a lot less sugar and processed carbs and all of these things. And she's lost some weight, but she went back to her doctor and her hemoglobin A1C, which is the test that they do to measure the 3-month average of the blood sugar, it was actually still elevated. And so, you know, she's a good example of somebody who really did all the right things. She has a strong family history. And so she's going to have to do a medication to get her blood sugar numbers down a little bit, but by no means is that her fault, right? She did everything she possibly could, and it's completely okay that she has to go on a medication. Really, it's more important that we keep the blood sugars in range. And so if that means starting a medication to help with that process, then that's okay. And so I just wanted to mention that because, you know, I think type 2 diabetes can be one of those things where we're like, oh, well, what was she eating to get that? You know, and it's not always the person's fault, you know, if they get that, if they are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
Jennifer, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just going to say one more thing is age. As we get older, our bodies just don't work as well anymore. And so I've had multiple people, you know, that I have seen who are in their 70s or 80s and they're not overweight. They don't even have a family history and they just have diabetes because they're getting older. And so, you know, that's the other risk factor. As we get older, our bodies just don't work as well as they used to.
Yeah. Jennifer, I'm going to ask you a question about discipline because part of your counseling is kind of coaching and encouraging. But before I do that, I want to read Hebrews 12:11. And I've used this in my coaching, particularly young athletes. And I read it to them and it says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have trained by it afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And what that says to me is that discipline is never pleasant.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to train. It's hard to put in the work. So now I want to ask you the question. You kind of make food fun, and there's a balance to this discipline, but are you having success getting people to have discipline about changing their habits and learning to enjoy preparing and eating healthy food?
Yeah, I think I love that verse, Jim, because that's the entire thing of it is nobody wants to choose a cucumber instead of some queso while they're watching the game, right? But the rewards are just so worth it down the road. And what we start to see is when we start changing our habits, we feel better. We have more energy. We are taking pride in how we take care of our bodies. And so it becomes a joy rather than a burden to make some of these changes. And so I think that's really the mindset change that I talk about so often with my clients, because I think we come into it thinking like, oh, this is going to be hard. This is going to be discipline. This is going to be work. I don't want to do this. And then you see these people changing their mind about this whole concept. And there's such a joy in learning how to take care of your body well and being successful with that. And so I think that that's really the benefit of it. And we do see joy come out of it and in the end, you know, that's the great thing about it is people don't have to get to their so-called goal, before they have that joy. You know, there are these steps all along the way where we have victories and we're celebrating, and it's just a lot of fun to see that change in people.
Yeah, and it's not that much work. I mean, a little discipline is, you know, this is not like training to run a 24 miles in a certain time. This is have a little discipline, eat intentionally, do all the planning that you talked about, be aware of your emotions and how you react eating when that happens. I mean, it just takes a little bit of awareness as to who you are and what you do. But I know you're going to fire me as a business advisor after this question, but I think you need to come up with the Nourish Nutrition app. And then when I start to eat too much, my little Apple Watch will shock me and tell me, oh, nope, you shouldn't be doing that. What do you think of that idea?
I do kind of like that idea. I like, there are apps that do give you reminders of, you know, like when to drink water, when to have a snack, when to do exercise, things like that. I think some of those are definitely helpful, for sure. But yeah, maybe an app is in the future. We'll see.
Jennifer, I'm going to say this. I was being facetious because I got to tell you, people that live by their cell phones drive me crazy.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I have my entire schedule on it. I mean, I went through, you're too young to remember this, but we used to have these things called day planners.
Oh, yeah. I have one of those.
And they were kind of cool, you know. But the problem now is I couldn't even read what I wrote because you had to write so small. So right. I really like the planning tools and the reminders that you get about like being on the radio at 1 o'clock so I don't forget, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But and you can even keep notes, and taking pictures is really fun. That is mm-hmm. really a cool technology. But I'm trying to encourage people to take advantage of the resources that you make available to all of us on nourishnutritioncounseling.com. And you can go to the resources available. You can download, you can sign up for the newsletter by simply clicking on the newsletter, putting in your email address. You're not going to be inundated with junk mail. You're not going to sell the list to a bunch of other people, so they're inundated with all kinds of scams and things, right?
Right. You will get one email on Tuesday, and it hopefully will be helpful.
Yeah. Jennifer, what do you attribute your successes in counseling to? Is it your biblical perspective? Is it your tenacity? Tell me what really is the central ingredient to your success.
Well, I think there's two things. I think, first of all, yes, I think the biblical component is so, so important. I really feel strongly that, this is a great closing comment too. You know, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and 23, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. So not only are we called to have discipline and self-control, but we also have the Holy Spirit helping us do these things. And so I think really once people start to connect the dots between the faith and the food and how it's all connected, I think that makes a huge, huge difference in motivation and success. And so I think that's one of the things for sure. And then second of all, I'm not necessarily taking credit for this, but I really do love helping people. That is my number one goal in life. And this is my passion. I love to see people change their life because of what they're eating. And so I think that spills over into my work and what I do. And I think that that's really helpful for people. They know that they have a cheerleader. They know that they have someone with them, walking with them every step of the way, encouraging them.
And Jennifer, we probably should have said it earlier because we only have a couple seconds left here, about 30, but you can sign up to or connect with Jennifer by emailing her through her website. Tell her you're interested in what her programs are and her counseling, and she will reach out back to you, have a conversation with you on the phone, and see if you guys can put things together. Is that kind of how it works?
Exactly. Yeah, the website's probably the best place. There are a couple of places where you can contact me and write me a message and leave me your email so I can get back to you.
Jennifer, thank you. I enjoy talking with you, and I'm going to send you an invitation for 3 or 4 weeks. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Wonderful. Thanks, Jim.
By Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.